You're listening to Radio Influence.
Flavor, please tell your neighbors. Ian Beckles with flavor in your ear. Wake up, sports, music, and fashion. Best of podcasting. What's going on now and what's soon to happen? Be sure to stick around, no fast forward or skipping. Dropping jewels, you don't want to miss them. Make sure you listen. Ian Beckles with the flavor in your ear. The voice of the people's here.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to Flavor in Your Ear. This is my podcast where we do a little bit of everything, kind of talk about what's trending. I dabble in a little sports because sports is my background. But this is my podcast. I'm going to talk about a little bit of politics, a lot of the crazy things going on in our world, and our world is crazy. So let's start this off with let's talk about what's trending out there. I'll tell you what's trending. Sexual assault is trending. And I don't know how long this is going to continue. I don't know if I want it to continue or not, because the names that are coming up are amazing. The level of accomplishment that some of these people that are coming up. I mean, the names that have come up so far, if you have a list of people, you got to think about the net worth being in the billions of dollars of people that have been accused. Well, just Bill Cosby enough, you know, to make the number big. But, you know, it's just coming out now. Larry King came out. I mean, you know, Larry King looks creepy to me anyways, and that one didn't shock me. I can see him walking around with his hanger shirt trying to lure young ladies into closets. That just looks like what he would do. But there's no name that's exempt right now. The NFL Network just cleaned house. Marshall Faulk, Ike Taylor, Heath Evans. Listen, I've been around football players for a long time. And this is not me making excuses, because I'm not. But putting football players around women is bad. I'm just telling you from example. It's just bad. Football women, football players and women is a bad mixture if you want everything to be kosher. I've been around Marshall Faulk before. He's going to try to talk to every girl that's in the building. That's what he does. I've been on flights, NFL flights. And let me tell you firsthand, you know, a lot of people don't want to hear a lot of things. Well, let me tell you firsthand. They hand select the stewardesses to go on those flights. The NFL flights, they hand pick the stewardesses, and the criteria must be, first and foremost, you're a slut. I mean, that's straight talk. If you're a straight-laced, attractive stewardess, it's not going to work. There's going to be lawsuits up the yin-yang. Some of those stewardesses were sleeping with half the players. You have to do that. Players are going to grab. It's bad. It's bad. I know. I'm not one of them. I wasn't one of them. But there was lots of them. I do know a lot of stewardesses on those flights were reoccurring stewardesses, and I know they were sleeping with a bunch of players. You have to have, I mean, it's a bad mix, I'm telling you. Warren Sapp's name came up. You know, Warren's name has come up a few different times, a few different situations. You know, and I was reading up on that. Warren sent her a gift that was a vibrator, which looks like lipstick. Looks like a lipstick. And Warren even tweeted it out himself. This is what I said. I thought it was a gag. That doesn't make you a sexual predator. Now, once again, Warren's had other situations, and I'm definitely not defending him on a few of those, but sending your is it wrong? Probably. Does that make you a sexual predator? Not in my world. It's really easy to judge somebody from the outside looking in. But what if Warren and this young lady have had numerous conversations and she's talked about how much she uses her vibrator? What if they've had that conversation? Would it be wrong for him to buy for her then? Well, just because he's above her, he can't do that? Once again, is it right? Probably not. There's a lot of things we do that aren't right. But there's a lot of us that like to throw stones in glass houses as well. I mean, a whole lot of people. It's just, you know, Mario Batali's name came up. Duh. any dude with a ponytail, it's a good place to start. All right? I was watching a show. I love the Food Network and all those cooking shows. And anybody that's cooking pickled partridge feet is not to be trusted. They're definitely not to be trusted. So Mary's Batali goes down. I mean, people are losing their jobs. It's okay with me because there's got to be some opening somewhere. Eventually, they got to stop and they got to start looking to replace some of these people. Hey, I might get a job somewhere on TV or radio or somewhere because somebody was touching somebody wrongly. I'm starting to think back in my own life. I'm like, dang, what happened? What about when I slapped old girl's butt way back in the 90s? What if she comes back and says, Ian Beckel slapped my butt? What if that happens? I'm not scared, okay? I've for most part, been a gentleman for the most of my life. But listen, a lot of these situations that are coming up and all these names that are surfacing, the one thing I do know, out of all the names that have come up, there's got to be a couple of them that are wrongly accused. That's just the way it is. And sucks to be you if you're that guy right now, because there is zero tolerance. If somebody comes up and says so-and-so touched me, you're going to lose your job immediately. Harvey Weinstein cleaned this thing up more than I thought it was even possible. But what's crazy is, you know, it's stuff, the allegations from so dang long ago, and it just seems like, you know, Harvey Weinstein and these young ladies, and maybe the ones that are accusing Bill Cosby as well, have empowered a lot of women, and for the good or for the bad. I don't know which way you want to go. Now, this is going to lead into kind of politics and kind of this sexual abuse thing with what's going on in Alabama. Now, Roy Moore did not win in Alabama. And I actually had somebody email me. If you guys want to email me, you can email me, ianbeckles@radioinfluence. I have this podcast. I also have a football podcast, In the Trenches, if you want to check that out as well. If you guys like to hear what I have to say about the Buccaneers, and not much of that is good right now. So Brad emailed me, and a lot of it was, you know, saying he enjoys the podcast, and he's talking about my views and all. A lot of it was cool. And he says another question. He says, I said that if Roy Moore was elected, then we can no longer say that we're the greatest country in the world. I really believe that. I mean, if you want to say, hey, why do we think we're the greatest country in the world? We're the greatest country in the world because this is what I thought was the reason. It's because we're open-minded to everybody else, all right? And we abide by rules and morals. I think that sets us apart from a lot of other countries. You know, our liberties and, once again, abiding by rules. In other countries, you go mess around in another country and get caught shoplifting, they'll chop your freaking hand off. They don't give a crap. We have a system where you have to go by rules, and we have morals, and I believe that's the way it was supposed to work. If Roy Moore was elected, okay, and was running our country or helping to run our country, it would have taken a step back for everybody, okay? Then, you know, out of all the people to choose from, you got this pedophile, molester, scumbag, okay? This old, dirty fart that's going to be, you know, is going to be part of our system, our judicial system. That you can't tell me that wouldn't have taken a step back. There's no way. And Alabama, first of all, Alabama should be ashamed of them damn selves. They got saved by Charles Barkley. The round mound of rebound rolled up in there and saved it because Charles was so level-headed and on point. First of all, Charles Barkley is probably my favorite basketball player growing up ever. I was kind of built like him. I loved basketball way back when. And he walked up in there, and this is what was, you know, the basis of his message. We don't want people to think we're this, do they? They already think we're this. They already think that we're podunk hillbillies. If you elect a molester, a known molester that can't go to malls, that's just going to put a stamp on what everybody thinks about Alabama. Come on, let's not do that. And he was 100% right. So Charles Barkley rolls up in there, and he saved the day. If you're, you know, somebody in California, you've got to be looking at Alabama and thinking, is there any way in California somebody that has that many, you know, alleged situations, you think he's going to, is he even going to go that deep to where we're still talking about it. That being said, our president has a whole lot on his table, too, as far as sexual, you know, allegations. There's a whole lot on that table before I, you know, speak any further and say that, you know, it wouldn't happen anywhere else. But, you know, I've learned a lot about Alabama since. I don't know much about Alabama. There's no reason for me to ever go to Alabama unless I have to for whatever reason or I was forced to. Now that I think about it, I think Alabama is one of the few states I've not gone to. And when I die, I'm okay if I don't make it there. But this is what I know about Alabama. They're all against, when I say all, I mean most. Because this is what I read, okay? And this is what people were saying. They're all, most of them are against abortion. Most of them are against marijuana. And a lot of them think that, I don't know, but something is more important. Like, politics was more important than getting something right. To keep it Republican was more important than putting a molester out there. Get out of here. Get the hell out of here. And what was the kicker for me, this was the best part. Now, I sat there on my TV and I read it. I read the caption and I kept on talking. Then I rewound it and I froze it. And I was like, what? People in Alabama are upset that the black women voters help win the race for Jones. And Jones, you know, was going against Roy Moore. Alabama, they're upset that black women voters help win the race for Jones. And I wrote it down just the way it said. And I'm thinking, okay, you're upset, first of all, that black people are voting. Forever, the same people that are upset are always say, well, black people don't vote. So now black people went out to vote, and now you're upset? But I want you to listen to what they're saying. They're upset that black women voters helped Jones win. Why would a black woman vote for a racist, sexist bigot? Like, these aren't, like, that's not an allegation. Come on, you heard his wife step up there in her southern splendor talk about, some people think we're anti-Semites. We're not. We have a Jew lawyer. Oh, boy. The hairs on my arms stuck right up and the back of my neck, too. Really? We have a Jew lawyer. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Listen to these numbers. 98% of black women voted for Jones. Who's the 2%? I'd like to know who the 2% were. Like, if a black woman... If a black woman went in there and I say, who'd you vote for? I'd say, of course, it's Moore. And she said, Jones, I'd like to pull her aside and have lunch with her and explain. Please explain. I would need an explanation. 98% of black women voted for Jones. Now, that's not a big amount of people. Still, there's still not that many black women in Alabama. There's not that many. 65% of white women voted for Jones as well. That number should have been higher for me. For me. Okay? The number in general should have been 98% for Jones, I think. But once again, it's turned into a black and white thing. And it's about an old fart touching little girls, man, in malls and being kicked out of malls and looking up girls' skirts in malls. That's who's running our country now. That's what's running our country. And I think it's disgusting, personally. Now, there's another thing that happened this week that I thought was disgusting and got more disgusting as it went along. Poor little Keaton Jones. Now, Keaton Jones, everybody knows who Keaton Jones is. That's a young kid that was videotaped by his punk-ass hillbilly mother. And the crazy part was his mother put it up there on social media. What's sad about this is the message that Keaton Jones first came up with, I think is a genuine, authentic message. I think kids are bullying him. I really believe that. And at first, boy, people just opening up, and this guy has the worst life, and we have to help this kid, and celebrities were coming out of the woodwork. The Tennessee Vols, I guess, went to have lunch with him, and everybody was trying to help poor Keaton, whose life is just terrible. Keaton was talking about people pouring milk on his head and shoving ham down his pants. And you got to think of what would make somebody do something so heinous to poor Keaton that, you know, he's an under, underprivileged, doesn't have any money. He's special. He looks like he's lacking maybe a chromosome here or there. Something's wrong with Keaton. That's for sure. And that's why I'm not attacking Keaton. He's a young kid that's being molded by his scumbag parents. So you got to think of what would make somebody do that to poor Keaton. And then you look at Keaton's parents' social media, and you know these days you're not going to hide anything in social media with a kid or anybody. If you put something in social media 5 years ago, somebody's going to dig it up. I'm telling you. Somebody's going to dig it up, and it's going to be exposed. Keaton Jones' father, who is a very proud white supremacist, not an underground one, a very proud white supremacist. He's in jail, by the way. Before he went to jail, he tweeted out a bunch of stuff, and Confederate flags were everywhere, and it was just hate, 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 hate. Keaton's mom, same thing. She has, Confederate flags all over the place. So, if a young Ian Beckles is in school, and I'm telling you, I was the kind of guy that befriended some of the special kids. That was me. I hung out with them, had a good rapport with them. Special's fine. Confederate flag and white supremacist, not so fine. Not so fine. Hey, if you don't want your kid to have milk splashed on them and ham down the pants, don't put them around white supremacist stuff. So all of a sudden, you don't feel as bad about Mr. Keaton, who's crying, who's boohoo story. And then you hear stories that Keaton Jones likes the N-word at school. Okay, Keaton, if you roll the N-word off your mouth around me, you're getting a hand down your pants and milk on your head too. Congratulations. So that's what the hell happened there. But it's just this world here. We always jump to conclusions a lot before we even investigate anything. And everybody was a ho-hum. I feel bad for Keaton. Keaton has the worst life in the world when it's just his parents manipulating you for money. Because they end up raising $58,000. For what? I'm not sure. Milk on the head and ham in the pants ain't worth $58,000 to me. So his mom's just going to go and, she's going to get some better meth. What's she going to do with that money? What a disgusting display of just utilizing your kids for the worst, in the worst possible way. And this Keaton Jones guy, it doesn't seem like he's leaving. He's everywhere. You can't turn on the TV without seeing him. And I don't know, having grown up, I'm 50 years old, so I'm a little older than probably most of the people I'm talking to. And the word bullying, I think just got created in the last 20 years. Bullying is just the way it used to be. You have to have a hierarchy in everything in the world, okay? There's a hierarchy in your business. There's a hierarchy in school. There's a hierarchy in sports. And there's a hierarchy in toughness. They take dodgeball and they take gym out of all these schools. And now, Ian Beckles growing up, excelled at dodgeball. I was freaking great at dodgeball. Now you eliminate a dodgeball. Now I'm not as good as a person. Hey, you want to eliminate something? Eliminate history. Because it's wrong anyways. Seriously. It's to the point now where you have to allow kids to grow. And for your kid to come home crying, and it's going to happen. That's part of growing up. If my son came home, and he never did, by the way, if my son came home and said, hey, dad, so-and-so is bullying me, I would say, well, you better figure out a way to stop it. I can't stop it. You know what's bad for it? Me walking to his school and telling those kids to stop picking on my boy. That might not be bad for me, because I'm going to scare the crap out of most kids. But for your mommy to be videotaping you crying and then you're being on shows and everybody's, that's not the way to stop bullying. It's not. What do you think's going to, you have to teach a kid what to do at that point. Listen, guys, that was my kid, I'm going to say, let them all know that you can't continue to do this or there's going to be ramifications. Whatever it may be, there's got to be ramifications. If your kid is small or whatever, then maybe you go tell. Maybe if that's what you do, maybe you go tell somebody. That's fine. I'm telling my kid to wind up and put them to sleep, and they won't do it again. And then whatever happens after that, fine. But if you can't go through life letting people put ham in your pants and pour milk on you. It's just something you can't allow to happen. So to me, everything that his mother is doing is absolutely positively counterproductive to him later on in his life. So good luck with Keaton. But, you know, when he has his parents like that, you don't need enemies, you know, when your parents are like that. And they're definitely not helping anything whatsoever. Now, this is my podcast where I like to talk politics, because politics, I think, are going to drive me insane, or to drink more. Anyways, I already drank, but it's going to make me drink more. Watching all the stuff happening right now in politics, first of all, I think you have to believe it's scary. If you're not scared, then I'm not sure how you're wound up, because for me, that Alabama stuff was scary, because they were basically telling the rest of the country, we don't give a rat's ass what you think of us. We're going to do us. We're Alabama, and we're going to do us. It's almost like they're looking at everybody else saying, I don't give a shit what you guys think. We're going to do what we've been doing for forever. And that's basically turning an eye on a lot of crazy stuff that's happening out there. I just think those days have to be over. They have to be, in all states, in all walks of life. And, you know, watching our president, he spoke, I think it was yesterday. It was the middle of the day. He was speaking, and anytime Donald Trump speaks now, I watch. I'm just telling you, every time he speaks, I watch, because it's entertaining / nerve-wracking / disgusting. Because, like I've said this before on this podcast, I'm not that savvy in politics. I don't know much about politics. And you know what? I'm finding out not many people do. Not many people know much about politics. They really don't. But the car salesman thing, and to me, he's a car salesman, and not even a great one. Like, if somebody says, this $250 car is a great car, it's beautiful, it's the best car, it's not. And that's how he's selling everything. And the whole thing with the tax cuts. Now, I'm very leery of, you have to be leery of everything. And when Donald Trump said, well, those guys didn't show up to the meeting because they want a tax increase and we want a tax decrease. Who the hell wants a tax increase? Who wants that? Nobody. If I said, why are you voting for somebody? You're going to say, well, he's increasing the taxes. That doesn't make any damn sense. And basically, Trump's saying, well, our way is the best way, and it's about the middle class. And then I saw a video, and went viral. This billionaire, and I don't remember his name, I should have wrote his name down, but this billionaire basically came out and said, I want you guys to listen to me closely. This new tax cut that he's coming up with is all about billionaires and wealthy people. He goes, I'm going to benefit to the eighth power, and you guys are going to get screwed. Watch. And I was like, okay, why would a billionaire be saying this? First of all, billionaires are fine. They're not going to lose their money. I get that. But he was a guy who was trying to tell us, don't listen. Don't listen to what he says, because that ain't the way it is. And this is the part I want people to listen to, though. Donald Trump is setting himself and his country club boys up to make ridiculous amounts of money on us. That's what's being done. And if you look at it, and if you listen, and I listened yesterday to what he had to say, and I rewound it, then I rewound it again, just so I'm trying to understand it and I get it, because I like to understand things. I like, sometimes people talk over my head, that happens, but I like to understand things. And after I rewound it 3 times, I came up with this. This is what I came up with, you know, after listening to the billionaire talk. Trump was talking about, you know, tax cuts and how it's going to help the middle class, okay? First of all, I'm middle class. I'm middle class, yes. Maybe a little above middle class. That's possible. When you talk about middle class and the stock market, everybody, Donald Trump's saying, well, look at the stock market. Look how much the stock market is up. Middle class people don't have any stocks anymore. Middle class people are poor. middle class people are working and they're living check to check. That's what middle class people, that's what middle class is now. Middle class back in the 90s, middle class was paid. People getting paid, putting money in the bank, putting money in investments, mutual funds, all that kind of stuff. Those days are gone, man. It's hard. It's check to check for most of us. All right? And he's talking about it's going to create jobs for the middle class and blase, blase. Okay? And it's not about the wealthy. It's about the money and it's about the... And then I started listening a little closer. And he skated over some stuff. He skated and then he stayed on something else. And I went back to the skating part. He said real quickly, there's going to be a 21% corporate tax cut. I was like, 21%? 21% is a big number in any walk of life, in anything. There's going to be a 21% corporate tax cut. Now, I'm going to ask you guys this question. How many middle-class people run corporations? How many middle-class people run corporations? The answer is zero. Zero. You're not middle-class. You run corporations that matter. Middle-class people work for corporations. Wealthy people own corporations. So if you're getting a 21% corporate tax cut, that means wealthy people are getting a 21% tax cut. 21%. And I don't care how much money you make. 21% is a lot of damn money. They aren't run by middle-class people. And then they're going to say, well, then the 21% tax cut, corporate tax cut, is going to create more jobs. Okay, it probably will. But what you're really doing is making wealthy people hella wealthy. And those are your boys in the country club that you sit back with and you sip mimosas with in the country club. Those are those guys. Now, while him and his boys sit back and make all these different decisions and they spew all this rhetoric and make us think that they're helping us, what they're doing is just helping them damn selves. That's all they're doing. And we talk about the stock market rising and all that kind of crap. Listen, if you don't have any money in the stocks, it doesn't matter what the stock number is, does it? It's only wealthy people that got money in stocks anymore. And this is where it got great. Yesterday, Mr. Donald Trump, he walked up and he had, I want to say, four or five different families from different parts of the country. And he was bringing them up individually. I don't remember the names, but he said, here's John Smith from Illinois. His taxes are going to drop from 15% to 12%. Instead of paying $2,600, this year they're going to pay $2,000. So then John Smith walks up and he's like, and he says, and this is what the president did. And you can go back and look at it. Hey, John, tell everybody how great the tax cut is. And here comes John. Hey, Mr. President, you're doing a wonderful job. Our taxes are going to go down $600. $600, first of all. If you're a middle-class person and $600 is going to make a difference in your world, then you're not middle-class. Let's get that straight. You're not. $600, if somebody gave me $600 in my hand right now, it's not going to change my world. It's not. It can't, not if you're middle-class. So this guy comes up and says how great this tax cut is. And instead of $2,600, we're going to pay $2,000. And then they're saying stuff like, and with that $600, we're going to do a bunch of home improvements. With $600? What freaking home improvements are you going to make with $600? Seriously. I'm sitting in a room right now. It's like my office. And there's art on the wall that's worth $600. So $600 is going to change the way you live? Listen. If you're poor, $600 is not going to change your world. I don't care how much money. If you make $15,000 a year, $600 would be great, but it's not going to vault you to another tax bracket. It's $600. And then he has another guy. They kept on bringing up different families, and basically he was saying, well, this family is going to save $800, and this family is going to save $1,000. And it was like four different families. And then a black family came up. You knew he was going to rustle up a black family. You knew it. And it was this gorgeous black family from whatever, California or something. man and his wife, and the man walked up there with his wife and was praising Donald Trump as he gave me the willies. And as Donald Trump is looking, Donald Trump is pushing up the guy's kids so that they go up a little closer so they get a picture of him with all the black people. Go back and look at it. I'm telling you, that's what happened. And it's just, it's so staged. And if you really think about it, you have families that are talking about the tax break they're about to have. They haven't even got it yet. So basically all they're doing is telling you what the president told them. If the president came to me and told me something, I would say, in all due respect, president, actually, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say that. I would say, whatever you tell me, I'm going to believe the other side of it. That's how much you tell the truth. Whatever you tell me, I'm going to think the other way. That's me. You know why? Because he doesn't tell the truth ever. And he's a terrible, 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 terrible car salesman. And after he said 21% corporate tax cut, all the rest of it should have been just gibberish. Because that was it. He skated over it too. He went over it so damn fast and really stood a lot of time on how much he's helping these middle class people, saving them $600. This, you know what? This whole thing to me is getting uglier as we go. And it's pretty evident that nobody in Washington gives a crap about anybody that doesn't have a lot of money or is white. I'm sorry. You can look back and you can tell me. There's something that came up the other day in Wisconsin. And this is not just a white-black thing. It's also a rich and poor thing. And our problem is we have wealthy people making decisions. In Wisconsin, they just came up with a new thing. Welfare recipients have to take a drug test to get their money. Okay? So if you're a welfare recipient, you can't smoke marijuana. Why? What? You're poor. Boy, they should be giving poor people marijuana and make it easier. So because you're getting welfare, so rich people can smoke and do whatever drugs they want. And if you're getting welfare, you shouldn't do any drugs. That's just rich people looking down on poor people. Come on. This is crazy. You got to give a drug test to get some food stamps. This is stupid, man. I'm telling you. It's wealthy people are changing our world and they're swaying our world just for them. It just is comfortable for them to make more money and do as they please. And there's sometimes I'm around it and sometimes I hear it and I'm just getting more disgusted as I get older. And I'm becoming an old curmudgeon, that's for sure. But I have no tolerance for it whatsoever. And I didn't have growing up. And I think I grew up with a bad taste in my mouth for rich people. And I think I still have it in an unfortunate way. Once again, I'm very blessed, okay? I'm very, very blessed. I earned every last damn penny of it, that's for sure. It wasn't given to me like some people's daddies gave them money and allowed them to fail 6 or 7 or 10 times and screw a lot of people along the way. I had to earn every last penny, as I'm still earning every last penny, by working my ass off. And that's all I got. But we're just, this guy is, in the 4 years, is going to make sure that he freaking makes every wealthy person twice as wealthy and screw everybody else. And that's the way it looks to me. I wish I didn't see it that way. But that's the only way I see it, unfortunately. And, you know, it's not even a year in. We're getting there. And I'm tired. When I watch TV, tiring. When people are talking about politics, I'm looking at them and they're tired in their eyes. And just in general, our whole society and our country, I think, is getting tired. And it's getting to a point now where when you're watching TV, there's so many ballistic, out of control things happening in our country that we're not really acknowledging them all. It's like somebody may shoot up a building and kill 10 people. And if you shoot up a building now and you kill 10 people, you almost don't even make the news. Like, you got to kill a bunch of people to make the news these days. And there's just so much happening out there. And there's stories every single day. And there's things happening every single day that our president is doing where we just don't have enough time to comment on it all. And as soon as he does some dumb crap, and he's going to do dumb crap again real soon, then he's going to start talking about the wall. Or he's going to start talking about something else to divert you. And as soon as he does, you know, it gets real stupid, he'll say something to divert you. But I got my eye on him the whole time. My eye is not coming off of him. It's not. And if it's going to be my eye for 4 years, and my eye is as big as Sarah Huckabee's, and you know Sarah Huckabee has that one really, really big eye. You know it. So if you guys aren't watching, I'm watching. I got your back. Hopefully we can figure something out before these next 3 years so that we don't all kill ourselves. But I just really believe that it's not heading in the right direction. And this guy, your guy, before this is over, he's going to bomb somebody. Remember I told you that. Somebody's going to talk about his mama, and he's going to bomb somebody, and he's going to do it well. I mean, he's going to say, I'm going to eliminate every last one of y'all, and that's what's going to happen. So good riddance for who was the next person who talks about his mama, because it's going to happen real, real soon. Real soon. And he's going to want it to be a doozy because he's going to want his name on it. He's going to want it to be Trump bombing your ass. That's going to be the name of the war. Trump bombed that ass. Wiped it out. That's right after he gets rid of Obamacare because he doesn't want to bomb his name on anything and absolutely anything. Anyways, this is always fun to me. I gotta be able to vent, and I appreciate you guys listening. For any of you guys that want to get in touch with me, Ian Beckles at Radio Influence. I also have a football podcast, In the Trenches, that comes out on normally Monday, and this week it's a Monday night game, so it'll be coming out on Tuesday. The Buccaneers play the Falcons Monday night, and it's going to be John Gruden Day. Timing-wise, couldn't be worse for Dirk Cutter, who is going to hear praises of John Gruden and how John Gruden turned this franchise around, which is really Tony Dungy. And all he's going to hear is John Gruden this, John Gruden that. Chucky's going to be up there smirking at everybody, and it's just not going to go away. And I don't know if this – something's going to happen here real soon. There's 3 games left. I don't foresee this team winning another game. It's pretty evident that Dirk Cutter and Jameis Winston aren't seeing eye to eye right now. And the things that people don't realize is if you really think about it, you know, Jameis Winston is a football player, and I was a football player. You can't compare me to Jameis Winston because he's obviously a higher profile, more important player, no doubt. But people think that Dirk Cutter and Jason Light are Jameis Winston's bosses. They're not. Because you know what? If Jameis Winston, who's the future of this team, regardless if you think so or not, if he goes to the owners and he says, I don't like what's happening here, they'll both be fired. Cutter will be fired, and Jason Light will be fired, and they know that. I've seen it in radio. Just because you're my boss, and I'm not talking about me because that's not really my personality, but just because you're my boss, it doesn't mean that since I'm the talent and I go complain to higher-ups, your ass ain't going to be fired. So right now, everybody's puckered up. Nobody seems happy. Our high-priced receivers aren't getting the ball. Our quarterback's not happy. We're losing every week. So something is going to happen. And to have John Gruden night on Monday Night Football against Atlanta, you know what would be real bad? Us catching a good old-fashioned ass-whooping. If we catch a good old-fashioned ass-whooping in front of John Gruden on Monday night, that might be the last one. It's possible. They might pull the plug on it. That's not what I'm asking for, but the Glazers have a really itchy trigger finger. It's itchy, and don't be shocked if that's the last one, because I don't foresee the Bucks going out there and fighting because they ain't been fighting lately. And I don't see it turning out the right way. And then we got to hit the reset button and start all over. And sometimes that gets real, real old, if you know what we're talking about. Anyways, I appreciate you guys listening in the Trenches Tuesday, and Flavor in Your Ear will be every Friday. So don't want to miss it. It gets good every week. And we know our boy Donald Trump's going to do something really, really eventful to give me something to talk about next week. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
flavor. To keep the conversation going, follow Ian on Twitter at Ian Beckles and check out DignitaryRadio.com to get the latest on where you can find him next. This has been Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear on Radio Influence.
Put the flavor in your ear, the voice of the people's here. It's in that flavor.
In your ear, ear.
Flavor.
In your ear.
Bringing that flavor.
This is Jim Fannin, America's Zone Coach, and I'm excited about bringing my new podcast, The Jim Fannin Show, to RadioInfluence.com. Each week, we're going to talk about the zone and how this mindset can help you in all facets of your life. I'll give you all the tools you need to change your life and help guide you to become your genuine, authentic best self. With the only proven blueprint for attracting the zone mindset, I've helped transform millions of lives. In my 40 years of experience, I've coached CEOs and senior executives from 350 of the Fortune 500 companies in 50 different industries. I've coached professional athletes, Olympic gold medalists, Hall of Famers, all pros, all stars, entertainers, and so many more, to help them gain the tools and techniques to create a life of simplicity, balance, and abundance. And now it's my privilege to bring these methods to you every week, along with some of my champion good friends as special guests. If you want to get in the zone in all you do, check out the Jim Fannin Show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.